Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart,
one heart,
one mind,
one mind, one soul at a time.
At the right time, just where you were meant to be. Let's sing about it.
I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be.
In the right place.
I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be. I'm in the right place.
Grateful for you.
I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul is welcome here. Oh, my soul is welcome here. I am getting the message loud and clear.
Spiritual Life Center Sunday morning experience. And of course, this is our stay at home, create at home, view at home edition. But nothing can stop us from remembering and reminding each other of our own inner divinity, as well as the power of God that is within each and every one of us. So we come here this morning to reaffirm that we've come on this planet to love, serve, and remember who and what we are as expressions of this presence. And with that, I invite you to join in as we affirm words, as we go through our challenging experiences in life today. We've been saying these words each day during our midweek and midday meditations. And these words simply affirm the truth. And they simply say, as we pray together, we are in the presence of pure spirit. Our entire planet is immersed in truth that life, love, and health, and wholeness are our very essence. We radiate our wholeness now as we draw on the one and only source of life, the Spirit of the living God. Spirit pours its quickening life into each individual as well as our planet as we turn our attention to Spirit's healing presence. We trust Spirit to restore us to harmony and health. And everything not in alignment with this harmony and health returns to the nothingness for which it has come, never to exist again. We're grateful for this truth as we affirm the presence and the power and the love of pure spirit. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. As we do each week, we affirm our five basic unity principles in order to keep them in the forefront of our awareness. With that, I invite you to join in, wherever you may be, in these words. God is absolute good and everywhere present. People are inherently good. Thoughts create our experiences. Prayer and meditation are how we connect with God, and we must take action.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here speaking to you on behalf of your entire SLC Board of Trustees. And I just wanted to give you an update on what your board has been doing during the last month or so. We've been busy. Lots of things have been going on behind the scenes. First and foremost, though, I'd like to start with gratitude. I want to say thank you to all of the staff and volunteers who have been working so hard during this time to provide Sunday services and Wednesday evening services. You can't even imagine all of the work that's happening behind the scenes. So thank you to everyone who have stepped up to this challenge to do new and different things. It's been an incredible time. So what the board has been doing, we've been meeting multiple times. Our big responsibility right now is to stay on top of our budget and make sure that we are making wise and deliberate financial decisions. And our finance committee and all of our accounting folks have been working very hard behind the scenes to track everything. And I'm happy to say that our number one priority has been to support our paid staff to make sure that they stay whole and there's plenty of work for them to do in safe and secure ways. So the board very much supports our beautiful staff that provide everything that makes a Spiritual Life Center work. So we were able to fully meet our payroll for March, and we have committed to fully meeting our payroll for April. And we're just looking at things on a month-by-month basis, and we're feeling very positive. We anticipate that we'll be able to meet our financial obligations for May. We're also looking into all the different opportunities that the federal government is providing for small businesses and nonprofits. We're open and paying attention to what's out there for us. And I want to thank you all for your continued efforts in giving and supporting Spiritual Life Center. Every little bit helps. And as we always say, we just ask you to do what you can. Many people are contributing more, and we know that some are not able to contribute. And so all of us just doing what we can will help us to continue to provide that spiritual support for all of you. And looking ahead, we're trying to find new and creative ways to continue some of the work we had going before we had to close our church facility. One of the things is our bylaws revision. We had done the revision and we were ready to vote on that this month, which of course isn't happening face to face. So we're looking into ways to do that remotely. So in our board meeting next week, we will be talking about that. And the board is meeting multiple times every few weeks just to stay on top of things, which is not our typical. We typically just meet once a month, and Zoom is our new best friend. So things are looking good. We're feeling hopeful and optimistic, and I just want to remind you all that you are loved beyond measure, and that Spiritual Life Center is here to help keep your hearts healthy and happy, and we just wish you all love and peace. Thank you.
I'm thankful, so grateful. I am one with the Spirit all around me. I'm thankful, so grateful. I trust in God. Yeah.
Life within my heart. is perfect and right. All is perfect and right in my world.
As we move into this meditation space, take a breath. Relax as you exhale. As we move into this meditation space, take a breath. Relax as you exhale. Close your eyes. Drop your shoulders. Relax your eyelids. As you breathe naturally, you may want to place your hand over your heart. Breathe in each affirmation. I open my heart. I awaken my heart. I occupy my heart. Allow your consciousness to float up into a light daydream. You are drifting up into a crystal blue sky above a blue-green sea. And as you drift along, a small emerald-green island comes into view, and you hear a low, rhythmic sound emanating from the island. As you slowly descend, you see that most of the island is swathed in a green and pink mist. The sound becomes a little stronger. And so you settle down on the green grass just outside the mist. This is the most beautiful place you have ever seen. It feels safe and warm. And it seems as if you have it all to yourself. The sound is not only louder, but you can feel it softly vibrating through your body. It emanates from the mist, and it is drawing you in. Just a few steps have you completely enveloped in green and pink. The colors sparkle and twirl around, tickling your nose. It's almost as if it's dancing. In a few more steps, you become aware that there are others coming through the mist, drawn to the same vibration. So you're not completely alone. Ahead of you, the mist begins to take on form. As you draw nearer, you see a temple made of green and pink light. That light pulses to the rhythm of the sound that you have been following. And now, that sound is recognizable. It is your heartbeat. As you and the others quietly move forward to enter the temple, you recognize it for what it is. It is the temple of the human heart. In this precious moment, the mist vibrates through your entire body, and you know why you are not alone. It is because there is only one heart, and the sound, the vibration that you hear and feel is the beat of the one most holy heart. Standing within the holy heart, you are filled with a love and compassion that indeed passes all understanding. Take a few moments to experience the holy heartbeat in the silence. As you take a breath in gratitude for the experience of the Holy Heartbeat, knowing that you carry it within you at all times, you begin to rise out of the silence. And as you leave the temple, a voice within the temple offers this blessing. O my beloved, open your heart. Awaken your heart. Occupy your heart. For when you do this, you open and awaken into the one eternal heart. And then you will know oneness. Remember this always.
Is any problem too great? Just takes one step of faith and mountains will fall. I offer you the truth, and if you need it, love will be there for you. Love will never put you down, lifts you up when you're bound. Just give love a chance. If there's any fear at all, come closer and see. This love won't harm you. This love remains true. This love is for being lonely. Such a love will never leave. Just listen to me. Love will fill the empty spaces. Turn around and see who's been there all the time, waiting to come into your.
This love, 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 love.
Emily Cady, in her book, Lessons in Truth, writes in her chapter on affirmations the following words. There is attainable by us a place where we can see that our doing can cease because we realize that spirit is the fulfillment of all of our desires. All of our desires are fulfilled by this presence and this spiritual essence. So I ask, do you feel fulfilled? Perhaps if you look around, and as I look around, I sometimes say, I don't necessarily feel that way, not so much. Some of us may feel that we're filled full with something, but I'm here to tell you that if you hang out long enough, if you come to the well long enough, if you really, really, really want it, ultimately you will be fulfilled. That's because that's the nature of God. That's the nature of this spiritual presence. But of course, we have to take the preliminary steps. We have to be the ones to make the commitment. We have to make that commitment with faith. We have to make that commitment with intention. We have to make that commitment with earnestness and with trust. So I was thinking about this talk. I recall a story in the Bible, the Gospel of Luke. And this is the 10th chapter, and it tells of a time about a man who wanted to inherit eternal life. He wanted to have that spiritual fulfillment that Emily Cady talked about. And so what happened, he followed Jesus around and came to every place that he went to. He was kind of like a groupie. And he asked Jesus this question. What can I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do to have this spiritual fulfillment that I see that you and others around you have? And Jesus turned the tables on this man and asked him a few questions. He asked the man, have you kept the commandments? Have you done all that you know how to do to the best of your ability? And the man answered affirmatively, yeah, I got that handled, no problem. And then Jesus said, well, you lack one thing. And that one thing you lack is you must go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And it says in that story that the man walked away. He was sorely sad. He was aggrieved because he was of much possessions. He had a lot of stuff. We couldn't make that final step of commitment. Most people have a tendency to think that what Jesus was talking about was the material things, was talking about money, but he was not. We look at these stories not from a literal perspective, but we look at them metaphysically, metaphorically, symbolically, and look behind the words to find out the true meaning of the message that comes from the story. And so Jesus was talking about our possessions and talking about the riches, and he was even talking about our beliefs. He was saying those are the cherished concepts of good, those cherished ideas of good, those possessions, those things that we lean on that are not necessarily the full and complete idea of what it means to be spiritually fulfilled. Because such things need to be spiritually discerned in our minds and our hearts. So in this story, the man was receiving an invitation from Jesus to be initiated in a spiritual perspective, to see from a spiritual point of view, and not look at it simply from a human perspective only. But he had to go deeper. He had to go deeper into his practice, and he was inviting him to be a little bit uncomfortable with his life and his experiences. And all that he was holding on to, he had to sell all, sell his possessions, sell his attachments, let go of what he believed to be right in order to open him up himself to new possibilities. Sometimes we do have to let go. We have to let go of what we think we know, even our beliefs, our most cherished beliefs, the things that we've learned most of our life and seem to be true. We sometimes have to release all of that in order to open up to the largesse of the presence of God. And when we do reach spiritual fulfillment. And then we are able to rest assured, which is the topic of the day. When we talk about rest assured, we're talking about resting from the human might and power, resting from our human concept of good, resting from leaning on our possessions, leaning on the things we've depended upon all of our life. We have to rest from our so-called intelligence and experience and everything that we think we have acquired to make it in life, to make it on the planet. All of our cleverness, all of our ways that we've used to get through the world, to get over, we rest from that. You know, I'm reading a book by a woman named Anita Morjani. The title of her book is Dying to Be Me. And in her book, she highlights her journey from cancer to having a near-death experience, or some would say a near-life experience, but she called it a near-death experience, to move to true healing, to move to true wholeness. And she notes that before she had even gotten cancer, she had a great deal of fear of cancer because several of her family members were plagued by it and they died from it, and also were afraid of treatment. And she was very afraid of the treatment, particularly chemotherapy. So she said that she had a double whammy. She was terrified of both dying and terrified of living. Well, she did acquire the cancer, and she tried everything she could to heal herself. She went to faith healers and prayer and meditation groups and tried all kinds of techniques. She tried energy work and read every single book she could get her hands on. She traveled across the planet to go to India and to China to meet with Buddhist monks, Indian yogis, and enlightened masters. And she was hoping to find the answer for her healing to take place. But unfortunately, her cancer got worse and she was even more terrified. At one point, she found it difficult to hold on anymore, and she just said that she let go. And there was an eternal release that she had because she was just too weak to hold on, so she surrendered. And it was around that time that she had her near-death experience, and she relinquished her hold on the physical life. And what happened, she says, she reached this expansive space. And in that state, she says she truly saw who she was, that she was unconditionally magnificent, and she never viewed herself that way before. And she had a revelation. She had a revelation in that instant that she was going to be fine. And of course, her cancer healed. Or at least she healed from that cancer. But this is what she said that I thought was key to the whole process that she went through. And there are many fascinating things that she said in her book. She said, "My healing occurred only when all conscious action on my part had completely ceased and the life force took over my life." She said she simply got out of her own way. In other words, she rested in the presence. She rested assured in God. She rested assured in the force. She rested assured that all was well. And she, just like the man in that Bible story, when Jesus was giving him an invitation, she let go and she let God. But what does it mean to let go and let God? Sounds really very, you know, nice to say, to let go and let God, but we never really looked at it more deeply. When she says let go and let God, what she's really saying, you got to trust God. Because even what we're going through right now with the coronavirus across the planet, and yes, we do everything we need to do on the human level of washing our hands and wearing our masks and when we go out to shop and keeping our social distance and eating right and all those sort of things. But maybe the most important thing we can do spiritually is trust in that which we cannot see. You know, the writer of Proverbs writes, "Trust in the Lord, which is the great law of life, the law of our being. Trust with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In your ways, acknowledge this presence. In all your ways, acknowledge this presence, and this presence will make straight your paths. You know, Anita Murjani, in her story, recognized that she had to go beyond her human understanding and realize she was more than her biology. She was more than her body. She was more than what she thought she knew and learned up until that moment. She lets us know that if we rely on our own insight, if we rely on our own experience, rely on our own intelligence, we may miss the bigger picture. Because divine order does not understand or even understand or we can even observe this divine order from our own limited perspective. However, as we place our trust in this presence, in this spiritual essence, our path is made straight, our guidance made clear, and our needs indeed are met. This is what it means to rest assured. And it's particularly important when we have disappointments in our life. You know, there are disappointments, you know, as we are not able to meet as a community at this time with all that's going on. I know we're yearning to get back in contact with others, family members, friends. And I have some thoughts on how we can do that as a community, at least virtually. And I'll share more about that. But often people are disappointed right now. You know, loved ones are passing away before their time. You know, folks who, kids are in high school and college, they're not having their graduation ceremonies. The high school students are not having their proms right now. Their games being postponed, like the Olympics, and no basketball or baseball season is put on hold. Marriages may have been stopped. The marriage ceremonies are not taking place. Divorces are on hold at the moment. So there's people who are disappointed. But understand, whenever there's a human disappointment, we must know that there is a divine appointment that is catching our attention. We understand when there is a movement afoot that seems to be tearing down our life in a way that we do not like it. Maybe even at this time, we're going through an experience that we don't necessarily like. We must understand that behind what we are seeing, there is an adjustment that is taking place. And if we're still long enough, underneath all of that, there is a revelation. There is a blessing. There is a gift. There is something for us that we would not heretofore see. You know, you may be familiar with the late Steve Jobs' commencement address that he gave at Stanford University a number of years ago. And he talked about his journey, you know, going and dropping out of college and learning calligraphy that eventually helped him become special in the, you know, computer creation field, and his health challenges that he had to go through at the time. And during that address, he said something that I think we all can take it to heart. And what he said, that sometimes we can only connect the dots when we look back on them. So when human beings and human experience have disappointment, when that experience takes place in our lives, is an indication that we have an appointment with our divine destiny. What we know, all of us have an appointment with God. All of us have an appointment with joy and reality. All of us have an appointment with greatness. All of us have a real appointment with peace and affluence and wealth and beauty and perfect companionship. All of us know we have that appointment, and unless that appointment is fulfilled, there'll be constant adjustments in the human realm. It'll be adjustments for us individually in our lives, adjustments planetarily as what's taking place right now. And those adjustments will take place until this fulfilling presence has its way with us. You know, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned from time to time, we often say that God is good all the time. And somebody might say, oh, those people must be out their mind. They're not even checking out the news to see what's going on. But of course, we're not making believe that life is good or God is good when the facts of life are not to our liking, when the facts of life are not what really are beneficial to us, we're proclaiming that life is good because this presence is always for us. It never changes up on us. It is always available to us to lean on. And when we capture that in our awareness, when we do what's necessary to allow the Spirit of the living God to be our spirit, we can say that God is our bridge over troubled waters. God is our rock. God is our fortress. God is our deliverer. God is our everything. And we rest in that. You know, we've always been, many of us, I'm sure, we've all been disappointed at some time or another in our life. Only to discover as we looked in hindsight, it was an appointment. God was waiting. We were late. God had not moved. It, you know, I think if this presence could speak, it would probably be saying, well, I'm here waiting. They're on unity time, but I'm loving them anyway. It'll be okay when they get here. So when disappointment takes place in the human realm, I think one of the things we could do is listen to a little bit of Isaiah from the Hebrew Bible. These are very powerful words. And it says, they that wait upon the Lord, which is the law of life, the law of our being, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as if on wings of eagles. They shall run and they shall not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. They that wait, they that rest in this presence, they that revel in this presence, their strength shall be renewed. Something extraordinary can begin to happen in their life. You remember one time I was flying from Florida to California. And I recall that flight seemed so short to me. Seemed like it just took maybe 30 or 40 minutes. Now, because I was so much into this spiritual revelry, it seemed like this took a short period of time. Now, coming back, it did take the whole 5.5 or 6 hours. I wasn't in that same space. But during that time that it seemed to be so short, this Bible passage came into my mind. And it says that your Father in heaven knows these things that you need. And we're not talking about a place. We're not talking about a gender. So we're probably going to update that to say that the Mother, Father, God, in this ever-expanding good, knows what we need. It talks about this presence, knowing these things that we need even before we think we need them. But understand that the needs that we're talking about are not in terms of form, because this presence, this intelligence doesn't know about forms. It doesn't know about we need a bigger car or a house or, you know, a maid or even get rid of the coronavirus, because the reality is God can only do for us what we allow this presence of God to do through us. So it doesn't know anything about the form. But it does know something about what we're longing for. You know, in the midst of such things, when we say, I need such and such, the presence of God knows that there is an inkling, there is a desire within us. And that desire wants to reveal itself as God in our life. In other words, God is seeking to be itself in us, and that is what we truly desire. I think the experience we're going through right now, maybe collectively, is an opportunity for us to have a revolution of values that's in tune with our true essence. You know, we say, you know, every week that, you know, people are inherently good. That's our essence. That's our nature. That's our spiritual DNA. But we may have forgotten that. We don't always remember that. And maybe these experiences are to help us look at ourselves. It's an opportunity to come up with a revolution of the values that we have gotten away from to get in tune with our true self. You know, I was thinking about the time I was watching, you know, one of the good news stories on YouTube, and I think this might have been in Italy, I believe. I don't quite remember the country. But one morning, one of the frontline health workers, I think she was an EMT person, was coming from her apartment, getting ready to drive to work. And most of the time she was ignored by her neighbors. Her neighbors probably didn't even know what she did. But this particular morning when she came out, everyone in the neighborhood were on their balconies, on their front steps, applauding her, appreciating her, sending her some magnificent love, and it touched her deeply. Maybe all of this is to help us have a greater appreciation for our fellow human beings on the planet. Maybe we're here to redefine what our real heroes are in the world today. You know, I was calling my brother, who's a long-distance truck driver, so he travels all over the country, you know, from California to New York to D.C. to Texas and back and forth. And he's one of those persons who's delivering all the goods that we need to make it through this. And now we have a greater appreciation for individuals who do that kind of work to realize they are the real heroes that we need. But we need to appreciate everyone for their contribution that they make to humanity. You know, we're talking about things that are beyond the material. Because understand that there's a big difference between materializing something or materialism and spiritual manifestation. There's a big distinction between those two. They're two different things. Materialization is bringing what you imagine into visible realm. And you can have that happen whether you believe in God, whether you believe in the force, whether you believe in, you know, the laws of attraction, whether you're in league with the eternal verities of spirit or not. Everybody's materializing something. But spiritual manifestation is a change in consciousness. That's what happens within us. When we manifest spiritually, that manifestation occurs as a demonstration, and there's been a shift in our perception, how we're seeing things. And we're committed to God. We're committed to love and peace and forgiveness and compassion. And what manifests is an eternal nature, and it carries the nature of this presence throughout time. You know, it's within us. You know, there was another good news story that I run across because sometimes I just need those to remind me of that second principle that God is absolutely good and people are inherently good. There was a UPS worker who had been a long day on his shift and delivering packages to people's homes and their front steps. And he brought a package maybe toward the end of the day where I'm sure that he was ready to call it a day, but he realized that particular resident or customer had an immune system that was compromised. So he left the package on the front step, but then he went back to his truck. He brought back some handy wipes with the antibacterial on them and carefully wiped all the boxes that were there for her to assure that she was safe. He didn't even really know her. He just knew about her. And that brought out the humanity that's within him. Maybe this is what this is supposed to do. Bring out, remember our humane nature across the planet. Maybe it's helped us redefine what good is so we can manifest and bring heaven on earth. Because that's what real love is about. Real peace, real compassion and forgiveness. We do that in such a way that leaves a lasting impression on the very ethers in which we live on the planet. I think this is our commission, why we are here today. Why we are here at this particular time, because this is what we signed up for. Of course, to get there, we have to begin with ourselves. It seems like every time we get ready to make a big change or transformation, whatever appears on the outside, we always have to say, we have to start with me first. We look at the man or woman in the mirror where it always begins, never anything or anyone outside of us, no matter how much of a transgressors they may be, in our own minds anyway. So we begin with ourselves. We ask how forgiving are we of ourselves? How compassionate are we? How judgmental are we? Not only to ourselves and to other people, but also mostly to ourselves. You know, Anita Morjani in her book, when we talked about her near-death experience, she said when she got there, she realized that she was so judgmental of herself and she was blaspheming the essence of God. She was blaspheming that beautiful life that she represented here on earth. And I think as we practice spiritual principles, we know them to be, we practice them the best we know how. And when we do, we leap beyond the judgments, we leap beyond the perceptions or our misperceptions, I should say, into resting in God, resting in this presence, resting in this divine nature that we call God. We say yes to that on a regular basis. We make a commitment to that on a day-to-day basis. And there's something wonderful when we make that kind of commitment. It seems to strengthen us. It seems to make us grow further into the presence, into the force. It seems to deepen our awareness of that something that is beyond words, but is always for us and always supporting us. Not only when we live in that secret place of the Most High, that we dwell in the shadow of the Almightiness, we call God, we not only rest in that. Not only can we not be hurt, harmed, or endangered in any way, but any negativity that is shot in our direction seems to propel us deeper into the dimension of God. Because that's where the power is. And it comes forth like never before. You know, this is a worldwide experience we're going through. And resting assured in the presence is more important now than ever. You know, if we look at our world before the COVID-19, we could probably identify all the arrows of hate and distrust, that some of it's still going on, that are maybe shot across one border to another, one group of people to another, one culture to another. You know, that was going on, but even now we can see that we're seeing it from a new perspective now. At least we're giving the opportunity to see it from a higher point of view and realize that we are all interconnected and we're ready to go deeper than our surface consciousness. We want to understand that where you're sitting right now, where I'm standing right now, we can do more to amplify peace and amplify compassion without lifting a finger. All we have to do is look within, stop judging ourselves, stop judging others, and be about God's business and let that be our guide. And when we do, we can watch and see how we can sell all and follow that Christ presence, that something that is not a person. We're talking about that part of God within our soul of everyone. And as we begin to do that, we will have a great consciousness that neutralizes the thought forms of separation, neutralize the thought forms of negativity, neutralize all of them, requalify them, so we can bring forth the new heaven and the new earth. And we'll turn our swords into plowshares, and we'll study war no more, study separation no more, study any sense of disintegration between ourselves and anyone else, because we'll be about God's business, which is about oneness, which is about unity, which is about realization that we're all part of one human family. And as we do, we make a commitment to life. We make a commitment from that peace and that love that's from the depth of our being. And we rest from human power as we rest in the power of pure spirit that says there is nothing at all against us. And when we rest in that, we rest in that truth. And it's that truth that liberates us. It sets us free, and we're blessed to have the opportunity to rest assured and know that all is well. Peace and blessings to you. Well, thank you for being part of our Sunday service this morning. You know, there's nothing that can stop us from being reminded of the principles in which we teach. And so we've come here, regardless of what is going on around us, to bring forth this message to as many people who are open and receptive to receiving it. I'd like to give a special shout out and appreciation to members of our Spiritual Life Center staff, to Paula Mandela, to Reverend Deborah, for the work they've been doing to make this possible today, as well as our AV team, particularly Ira and Cameron, who does a Wednesday service, and Martin's marketing, Celia, who is part of our community. So we appreciate them for working behind the scenes to make this a possibility for us this morning. Now is an opportunity to help us continue to send out these spiritual messages, not only on Sunday, but also during the week and all the other programs that we're putting forth for those who are going through the COVID-19 experience. It's helpful to our community and our world as well. So I invite you to support Spiritual Life Center with your donation and to give whatever you can, no matter what that may be, because it will be helpful and it will be highly appreciated. And we know that we're here working together to make a difference in our community and ultimately in our world. You can give by texting SLC Love to 44321. That's SLC Love to 44321. Or you can go to our website, slcworld.org, and click the donate tab, and they'll give you other ways that you can give to Spiritual Life Center, including sending a check by mail. With that, I invite you to join in and say together our offertory blessing. Let us say it together now. Divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, and all that I circulate. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
watching my thoughts go by.
Sitting in the presence of God,
everything. Sitting in the presence,
sitting in the presence of God.
When I am sitting in the presence,
sitting in the presence of God.
Let us sing our peace song.
Thank you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. Transform.